What's happening, everybody? Welcome to a Monday edition of Texans All Access from the Hyundai Texans Radio Studio. John Harris alongside the voice of the Texans, Mark Vandermeer. Mark, it feels like we never left. It feels like we've just been here for the last 48 hours straight.
Well, I did sleep a few hours. I hope you did, Johnny. You were on the air forever. 16 hours of draft coverage with you. It's very impressive. Congratulations once again. What is this, your 11th draft with us?
Yep, that's correct.
And just doing it, guns blazing, going crazy all weekend long, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night. I don't know about you, but after Friday night, I feel like, okay, we could use this maybe 3-4 more hours. Nope, it's another 7-8 hour day the next day. And that's when the bulk of the picks were selected. And you did a great job, my friend.
Well, I appreciate that. And thank you for allowing me to do that because it's a blast every year. Thursday night was great in here, even though we didn't have a first round pick, to get, you know, the radio crew together and just chop it up, talk about, you know, the Texans and then what teams were doing and evaluating teams as they were going through. And obviously, trying to figure out what the Atlanta Falcons were doing and thinking and trying to piece that all together. And what they did was probably the shock of the first round. And obviously Friday at the draft party was nice and hot and steamy where we were, which was great. And that gets long, but had three picks there. And then obviously on Saturday we had four picks. We had three picks going in so fast in that seventh round. It's like we're on the phone with Solomon Bird, and all of a sudden, Marcus Harris and Ladarius Henderson get drafted.
Yeah.
So it was happening just, I mean, in real time, it was happening, you know, as fast as you could imagine, even in those periods, those lulls. But even Saturday, when we just had the one pick with Sean Pendergast and Cecil Shorts, who were with me then, we had Kate Stover. And that was fantastic. We'll play the edited version. And by edited, I mean the bleeped out version. Because he said a word that you're not supposed to say on radio.
Yeah.
Which I thought Sean and Seth made a really good point. I was listening on Monday and they're like, you know, the young people are on podcasts now. You could say anything on a podcast.
You could say anything. It's true. It's a great point. Their editor, their filter does not operate the same way as when you and I grew up and you knew you had the seven dirty words you couldn't say on the radio or television.
George Carlin. Thank you very much. And yeah, we get used to that. And I was like, yeah, I said right after, I was like, don't worry, you just joined the club. We've all been dumped before. It's happened. We've all said a bad word on the air. We try not to, but it happens. And Kate Stover got his out of the way. He got it out of the way very easily. And it was in a funny sequence because I had asked him what he thought about coming to Houston and barbecue and all that. And he was like, oh yeah, I got a smoker. He's just, I built it myself. It's kind of bleep, but. And we were like, we all just started laughing, like, yeah, you know, it happens. He was a great sport about it, but it was just fun to have that Kate Stover pick to be able to talk to him. But overall, we're going to get to something here in a second. I'll explain in a second. But just overall, 30,000 foot view, looking at two things. One, the draft itself, these nine players that they ended up signing, and the team now about as complete as it could be heading to training camp. Now, that doesn't mean that we could, you know, 2 hours, you know, from now, at 8 o'clock tonight, we could have Nick make a pick or let guys go or whatever. But just in general, the draft itself, Mark, nine players that they picked, the team now mixing in those rookies and what they've been able to do this offseason and the way it looks to you right now.
Well, with the draft, it's put another log on the fire, right? More competition, more added depth. And D'Amico used those words, and I think it really hits home. Because if you're a veteran on this team at any one of these position groups where they drafted, you're thinking, oh, okay, they drafted a guy in my group.
Right.
That adds to the competition. That gets everybody on alert. Not that they're not on alert already. Of course they are. This team has high expectations. All these players currently on the roster before the draft have been hearing about it, hearing about how great they're going to be. Well, now you add a player in your position group, and this is a guy trying to take your spot. And look, they can like each other, they can be teammates, but you know how it is.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what they want. They want internal competition because it makes everybody better. So I thought that about the draft and about the team. I really felt like there's no one they drafted who takes some of the mystery away from what they're going to do at certain position groups. It adds a little bit of intrigue for sure, like Blake Fisher on the O-line. Mm-hmm. Where is he going to end up? But we still have a team that had a lot of established players or a lot of high-profile players relatively,
mm-hmm.
and you feel like, hey, they were who they were. Nick Caserio said they could go out and play a game and feel pretty good about themselves. Now they added to it. There is some intrigue that we'll get into. It's in the weeds. I think there's nobody in this draft that you sprinkle into the Texans, and Stephen A. Smith is going to be talking about it. Greenberg is going to be talking about it on the hot take shows. There's no hot take stuff here.
Right.
But
right.
It's relative to the Houston Texans and the diehard fans who listen to this show and other Sports Radio 610 shows, like a Blake Fisher. What is he going to mean here? How does Kamari Lassiter fit into the secondary? Is he going to start, or will it be Okuda or Henderson opposite Derek Stingley Jr.? How will some of the other players do? How will Jawar Jordan figure in? Is Damian Pierce going to get back to 2022 levels, or will Jordan actually be the number two running back here in the mix in the backfield? So those are the kind of mysteries, but they're not national stories necessarily yet.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, before we get into, we're going into the draft a little bit deeper in just a second, but wanted to remind people, if they've been away, they just got back into town, I don't know, they're driving back from the airport, and they're like, hey, man, what's been going on in Texans world? Texans put on a statement yesterday. It had to do with Tank Dell. Statement reads, We have been made aware that Tank Dell was a victim of a shooting in Sanford, Florida last night. He sustained a minor wound, but has been released from the hospital, and he is in good spirits. We're in contact with him and his family, and we'll provide more updates when appropriate, but we ask that you please respect his privacy at this time. Our thoughts and prayers are with everyone involved in the incident. If you didn't see or hear about the incident, 16-year-old opened fire at a private event, injuring, I believe it was 10 to 12 people. About that, Tank was one of those. But he apparently went to the hospital and got out of the hospital and is on his way back to recovery. Sean and Seth made a really good point, I thought, about this, Mark, real fast, that there's making a full recovery and going to be fine, and then there is being recovered for football, which right. Obviously Tank was already recovering from an injury they suffered against the Denver Broncos. But when you see something like this, it just, I mean, when I think you texted this, or Drew texted it in our text thread, and it just, like, whoa. I had actually, earlier that morning, had seen something on Twitter about that incident, and it's in Florida. Of course, both you and I lived in Florida, so I wanted to see where it was. I had the actual article up that Adam Schefter, later that day, tweeted out to everybody, hey, this is what happened, Tank Dell was involved in that. The article does not mention Tank. But I had that article up. It's the exact same one. So some scary stuff there. And obviously our thoughts are always with Tank. And hopefully he's going to be okay, in that everybody involved is going to be okay. And they can find some help for that 16-year-old. Because there are some serious issues if you're bringing a gun to a private event of that magnitude. So,
well, yeah,
Tank going to be okay, hopefully.
Yeah, yeah, he'll be okay. And you're right, there's a football component here. Personal health is the most important thing here, personal health and safety. We'll see where it all goes.
Yep.
And I'm sure we'll get more information soon enough. But thank goodness that that was it. That was the only thing that happened to him. And we'll take it from there.
Okay.
Back to football. I want to ask you about something right off the bat here.
Okay.
I'm going to go in no order. But this caught my eye.
Okay.
Undrafted free agents.
Yeah, yeah.
The twins.
Okay.
The Jackrabbit twins.
Yeah.
The Yankees.
Yeah.
Jaden and Jackson.
Yeah. It's interesting you bring them up. I've been watching South Dakota State for a while. And when they've been a power in FCS for a while. And so in the spring of 2021, they played Sam Houston in the national championship game. And that was one that Sam Houston won late in the game. Ifeadeye makes a great catch in the end zone. Eric Schmidt hits him. Bearcats win. The next 2 years, so it wasn't the 21 season, but there were those Jackrabbits played 10 full games in the spring of 21. Then they played a full 2021 season. They got knocked out by Montana State in the semifinals. So they played 10 games and then 13 games. They played 23 games in the calendar year.
Holy crap.
2022, they come back. They win a championship. 2023, they come back to repeat. They repeat. They're good. The only thing really holding back the Twins, really, is jaw dropping speed.
Okay,
like they're like four five guys.
Yeah,
kind of mid four fives. But
is this where I'm contractually obligated to bring up Jerry Rice's 40 time?
Yeah, you are
4.7.
Yeah, 4.7. So these two come in, and the Texans didn't draft a wide receiver. So The next couple in line are the twins coming from South Dakota State, or the brothers coming from South Dakota State. So I liked seeing it. I thought they were tough and competitive. I loved watching that team play, and I loved watching those two guys play. And one of the twins wears number 10, and he's kind of a little bit bow-legged, And so when you watch him, number 10, same size, he looks like Cooper Kupp. Like, just the way he moves and everything. He's not Cooper Kupp, don't get me wrong. But he kind of looks like him. Number one, and I don't know which one's Jaden and which one's Jackson. I never really could tell them apart. But I just know one was 10 and one was 1. One is 1, seemed a little bit longer, lankier. But I like the fact you bring both brothers here and see what you got. I loved it. And we talked about this during the draft. The 7th-round picks were probably guys that they were going to call. If they didn't have 7th-round picks, they were going to call those guys to be priority free agents. But they moved in the 7th round to make sure that they got them and didn't have to negotiate. So now they go get the two twins, or get the brothers from South Dakota State. I like it.
So Jaden had 57 catches and 10 touchdowns. Jackson had 51 catches and 5 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Yards per catch, they're basically even, 16 plus a piece. Yards, 946 for Jaden, 818 for Jackson. I mean, they're relatively even here.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was kind of the way South Dakota State's offense was. It was, I don't want to call it offensive socialism, but it was kind of, they spread the wealth to everybody. They had Tucker Kraft, who's a really good tight end, mid-22 season. He was a rookie last year with Green Bay, did very, very well. He's like a 5th-round pick. Isaiah Davis was the running back. He went 173 to the Jets, and the Jets need running back. And they also drafted Braylon Allen. So I think those guys get in there. Mason McCormick ended up going to the Steelers, pick 118 or something like that. I think it was like 118, something like that. I mean, that team was good. And those two were vital, vital in that offense. And it was kind of a, I don't want to say it was kind of hodgepodge offense. They just did a lot of different things. And so it was kind of 50-50. I mean, they would go into a game and you'd see like, okay, they threw it 25, 30 times. Quarterback ran the ball in addition to the running game 25, 30 times. So they were kind of a mix of a lot of different things. So I actually think in a passing game, they could probably be a little bit better. Had they been in an offense that was 3-4 wides all the time, they're probably 65, 70 catches as opposed to being in the 50s. So they're going to be fun to watch. I think they're going to be fun to watch. They're going to be competitive, and they're going to be guys that, undrafted free agents playing at FCS. I think they're going to come in here. I don't think it's going to be too big for them. Mm. I mean, they play a lot of big games at FCS, semifinals, you know, championship games. I mean, look, it's not like playing the NFL. But when you play at your level, those kind of games, the stress and pressure are going to go up just like it does at a higher level of football. So I'm excited to see them. And I know we didn't sign a number of undrafted free agents, but I know those two for sure. Those are the only two that I've really
Trent
seen.
Trent Jones, the guard from Michigan.
Oh, yeah, Trent A. Jones. Played when... When Zach Zinter got hurt, ended up going in the 3rd round to Michigan. Jones moved into tackle as Casey Barnhart moved into guard. But I think Jones is going to end up being a tackle down the road, kind of long arm guy. Not a lot of experience at Michigan, but did play down the stretch for Michigan because Zinter was out. So he had to go get some time with he and Ladarius Henderson. So they get both of the edge guys from Michigan. Edge, offensive edge guys from Michigan and Henderson and Jones. Interesting.
All right, so what is your favorite pick? And that doesn't mean necessarily who's going to have the best career, but just your personal favorite for whatever subjective reason you have in this Texas draft.
I'm going to give you my answer, which leads me to where I was going with this. My favorite pick is Juwar Jordan. When you take everything...
Stole mine.
When you take... Okay, I'll let you take Juwar Jordan.
No, you go ahead.
But what Juwar Jordan brings... You know, during the season, I mean, I was aware of him, but during the season, I have a document on my computer that, you know, players to watch, and it's tied to my phone. So I can be just lying on the couch watching a game, just watching it for the fun of it, which I do. And the opening game of the year was against Georgia Tech. And it was Georgia Tech Louisville. In fact, Andre had that game. Dre had that game. He was calling that game. And so in that game, I'm watching. I'm like, man, who's Jamari Thrash? Because Jamari Thrash had actually transferred from Georgia State. I didn't watch a lot of Georgia State, so I'm like, man, Thrash is good. And then Juwar Jordan catches a 75-yard screen pass in that game against Georgia Tech, and I was like, oh. And it just brought me back because I actually liked Jordan going into the season. And then seeing him with that, I was like, I made sure to make a note. Hey, Juwar Jordan, make sure... Essentially, hey, dummy, make sure you don't forget about this guy. Hmm. So going through the year, just watching him, returning kicks and doing everything, like, he's good. He's electric. He's just slippery. He's tough to tackle. He can impact pass game, run game, and return game. And there isn't a draft pick, depending on a position, there's a draft pick that can do that. There's not a draft pick that can do that. And there are very few players, even in the locker room, that can do that, impacting all three areas. And I know the guys in his room, Dameon Pierce is going to have to. Najuwar Jordan's going to have to. And now he gets into competition and, you know, he's added in, you know, and we shouldn't, you always say this, don't forget about guys. Don't forget about me. J.J. Taylor, a guy that came from the Patriots that Nick knew about. Little Mighty Mite, 5'6", you know, buck 90, but thick, quick. I mean, those are the guys that are going to get all those reps in the Hall of Fame game and early in the preseason, and they're going to have to do something with it. And obviously, George's going to have to do that too. But there's really, there's nothing to lose in drafting a guy like Jawar Jordan, but getting him in the sixth round at 205, that's nice. I like that.
That really is nice. And remember that the greatest running back in the history of the franchise was an undrafted free agent. Mm-hmm. And you look at some of the other good backs that they've had here that they've drafted. Pierce was a fourth rounder. Steve Slayton, a third rounder. Dominic Davis Williams, a third rounder. And Lamar Miller, a free agent acquisition. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Carlos Hyde. So it's important to note those things when you're looking at where you find running backs. And I'm not, you know, Wally Lundy was a sixth rounder as well. I'm not going to put anything on Jordan right now, but it is exciting, the prospect of what he can do. Because think about this. Pierce has to get back to 2022 levels or some semblance of that.
Yes.
Otherwise, they're looking at a number two running back.
Yep.
And you're right. J.J. Taylor could be it. Is Dokes it? Is Jordan it? We know Dari Ogunbowale is a very handy player.
Right.
Gosh, the guy kicked a field goal in a must-have game, and that was phenomenal. And you notice his running ability. It's pretty good for sure. But they want more at that mm-hmm. number two spot. And I think he'd be the first to tell you that, but he's happy to be on the team right now and earn his spot. So let's see where that goes. As far as my favorite player, look, it's hard not to love Cade Stover already with the farm and the, what you just described earlier with the smoker and all that. I think Kalen Bullock is going to be interesting because I love the way that this coaching staff feels like they can coach guys up.
Yep.
And you talked about tackling, and Nick mentioned something about it in his press conference. But Bullock's got a lot of ability here, and they feel like with Stephen Adegoke and D'Amico, they can work with him and really get him to play at his greatest potential possible. So the safety from USC, is he a corner eventually? Who knows? But I kind of like that one a lot here, Johnny. And speaking of all these draft choices, D'Amico, I always go back to the opening, the introductory press conference when he talked about, I want to make these guys better husbands and fathers mm-hmm. and people.
Yep.
And he really believes that. That's not just talk. That's a walk the walk kind of thing for D'Amico. And I joked about, but I'm not really joking with WWDD, what would D'Amico do? And it applies to all situations, football or not. You could really almost imagine what it would be and do the right thing. He fits so well with the history of this franchise, Bob McNair. You can't go wrong doing what's right. That's D'Amico Ryans. Mm-hmm. That's it. And he wants his guys to be like that. And you can hear that in the interviews that we're going to play on this show. You can hear that as a thread that runs through all of them. And I love that about this class and about this team.
Okay, so I'm working on an article. In fact, I've got this one finished for the AFC. I'm not done for the NFC. But I don't like giving draft grades because obviously none of these guys have done anything. But I feel like you got to react to what, you know, what's my opinion about particular picks. So what I did was I came up with four categories slash questions for each team's draft. So I'm going to ask you these four about the nine players. Now, keep in mind, it is, you know this, but for listeners out there, second round, Kamari Lassiter, Georgia, cornerback slash nickel, depending on how you look at it. Second round, offensive tackle, Blake Fisher, Notre Dame. Third round, safety, Kalen Bullock, USC. Fourth round, tight end, Cade Stover, Ohio State. Sixth round, linebacker, Jamal Hill, Oregon. Sixth round, running back, Jawar Jordan, Louisville. Seventh round, edge, Solomon Bird, USC. Also in the seventh round, defensive tackle, Marcus Harris from Auburn with an explosive first step. Guard, Ladarius Henderson from Michigan. So here are the four that I came up with, okay? Best overall pick, best day three value pick, the pick or picks that will surprise people the most, good or bad, best position need filled immediately. So, okay, here we go.
Go ahead.
The best overall pick, just overall, no questions asked. This is the best pick I think they ended up making. You can combine value, where he was drafted, whatever, or do you just think he's the best player? Who is the best overall pick in your opinion?
Stover. Tight end.
Okay.
He'll make plays.
All right.
They have three tight ends who can make plays. Quatoriano can make plays too, but he's got to stay on the field.
Yes.
Brev Jordan, look, he had a long catch and run for a touchdown in a playoff game, right?
That's right.
I mean, this is important to note.
Huge.
Brev can make plays. We already know about Dalton Schultz making plays, but there's definitely room for another playmaker in that position group on a regular basis, and that could be Cade Stover. So I think that's the one that I would point to. I have a dark horse, though, an honorable mention, based on your reaction and the reaction of some others, Blake Fisher, tackle from Notre Dame.
Yeah, I mean, and I've been asked about that today. In fact, Landry texted me, and I said, look, there was all this talk about, oh, he's going to compete for swing tackle. No, what I said was he's not coming to compete for the swing tackle job. You drafted the second round, you played Notre Dame, you're coming to compete for playing time at a position on the offensive line. Yeah. I don't care where it is. You're coming to compete for a position, and I think that's what Blake Fisher's going to do. Mine was Kamari Lassiter. I just feel like he was one of my – I mean, all the corners were – I loved every – there were a lot of corners I loved individual aspects about. Lassiter, I loved his game. The speed probably, you know, pushed him down. I had him at number 48. He went at 42. Okay, number two, best day three value pick. So everybody not named – Lassiter, Fisher, Bullock, you may have answered. It was Stover from Ohio State. You sticking with that answer?
You know, let's come up with another answer, though. I think it's Jordan, who we mentioned earlier, because you get him in the sixth round, and he does have ability. And again, backs can come from anywhere.
That's right.
It's not like, oh, my gosh, how did you find a quarterback in round five? In round six, we know it happened once upon a time, and you know, maybe some others, and Tony Romo was an undrafted free agent, but let's stick to running backs here. Terrell Davis undrafted, correct? Or was he like a sixth-round draft choice?
Sixth-round draft choice.
You have backs sometimes coming from out of nowhere, and it's no surprise. It's just for some reason this guy can play. Look at what Damian Pierce did in 2022.
Yeah.
Look at what Steve Slayton did in 2008. Those are fourth and third round draft choices, respectively. You just don't know. So let's hope for the best there. I think as far as value, that has to go very high.
Yeah, that was mine. I said Jordan for sure. I love his home run hitting ability in the run, pass, and return games. Number three. Now, this is kind of tough, so it kind of takes into your own definition and how you look at it. The pick or picks that will surprise people the most, good or bad. I'll give you my answer to give you a second to think.
Okay.
I said Fisher is going to play this year and be a significant contributor. He can play. I don't know where he's going to play, but that man needs to be on a football field for the Houston Texans. I think he's already at that stage. It's just a matter of what position does he end up playing at that point. Saturday that I sat in here, I got in here like 8:30 or so on Saturday morning, and I just went and watched the Notre Dame Ohio State game, and I said this during the broadcast. I watched the Notre Dame Ohio State game again. It was the second time I'd watched it, but now I've got eyes focused solely on Blake. And I'm watching him go against Jack Sawyer, who is going to be a top 50 pick next year. Adam, he might be much higher than that, but he's going to be. Fisher shut him down. Sawyer lined up as the left defensive end all night. Sawyer had one tackle. One. He didn't sniff the quarterback. He didn't come close. He had one tackle. That was it. In the run game, he makes a block on he made a combo block. Down on Talik Williams and then up to Steel Chambers. He knocked Steel Chambers 10 yards downfield. And it was just doing that in the run game, like seeing that finishing ability. And that's all across his tape. So I like seeing that. The pick or picks in your mind, Mark, that will surprise people the most, good or bad?
Well, if Kalen Bullock plays well, is that going to surprise a lot of people?
Yeah, because I think it might. Third-round safety, yeah.
There will be some opportunities. Mm-hmm. Once upon a time, he drafted a safety in the third round named Justin Reed, and he's still in the league playing at a high level, has a couple of Super Bowl rings with the Chiefs.
Correct.
And I get why you didn't pay him, but it is what it is, right? In fact, was he released before the end of that year in 2021?
Who?
Justin Reed?
No, he played through that year.
He played through the year.
He played through that year and then got a good offer.
He's a
free agent to go to the Chiefs.
And, you know, going into 2022, you weren't going to pay Justin Reed at that time of his life anyway. So let's go here, though, because Kalen Bullock, I think, has the ability, and I think the other thing is opportunity. You know, you can have ability, but is there opportunity to get in? Well, I don't want to see it happen this way, but we all know that they played some safeties last year.
Yep.
They played MJ. They played Eric Murray. I mean, you were down even lower or further into the depth chart. So you have to look at that as an opportunity for Kalen Bullock, for whatever reason, to get on the field and be able to make plays and make people smile. Now, I heard Sean saying this morning, you know, someday maybe Kamari Lassiter and Kalen Bullock are starting in your secondary. If that happens, if those two guys are starting in the Texans secondary and they're good, you know, it's a good secondary, it's a good defense, that is a monumental draft score to have those players, two of your top three in this draft with no first round picks, as starters, yep. that would be awesome. But we'll see.
So there's this. Time. So your answer is kind of the answer I have to this question. My final question okay. that I've written: best position need filled immediately.
Yeah, I all right, let's go there. When I look here's top to bottom, go, what's
here's
your
my
answer?
My answer was just secondary.
Yeah, I'm
Lassiter and or Bullock will be starters in September for this defense. This isn't a team that had a ton of holes going into the draft, but the DBs come the closest to being on the field immediately. And it, you know, my answer there doesn't really kind of put in the caveat. I did say it, but the team doesn't have a lot of holes. If we had to play a game September 1 before the draft, or play a game before the draft, they did fine. Mm-hmm. They would have had three or four returning starters in the secondary.
Yep.
They would have been ready to go. Obviously, health for some guys, you know, they're
but
not
quite
there. But
that's always a problem.
Right. But you would have been pretty close to having a full roster. Other years, you'd have been like, I have no idea who's playing this position. No idea here. I don't know what they could do here. I'd have felt pretty confident that the holes, because of the things they've done in the offseason, how they've mm-hmm. drafted, et cetera, that they felt pretty good going in. You heard Nick talk about it. They would be okay going in. But I still felt like Lassiter and Bullock, you look at them to what you just said, kind of echoing what you just said, they probably have the best chance to get on the field earlier than later.
Well, Our Lads is a website that does mm-hmm. NFL depth charts,
yep.
right? So guess who they have as starting nickel right now?
Kamari.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lassiter is the starting nickel ahead of Dez King.
Yeah.
Now, look, I don't know what happens ultimately. I love Desmond King, and I want to see him on this football team. Then they have Miles Bryant and D'Angelo Ross, by the way. And they have Bullock as a reserve safety behind Ward. They have Lonnie Johnson, who we forget about sometimes,
yeah, we do.
Behind Jalen Petrie, then Eric Murray, then MJ Stewart. They are as loaded at safety as I can remember, Johnny.
Yep.
If Lonnie can do anything.
Yep,
and I got a feeling he can, because otherwise they wouldn't have him on this football team. We already know Eric Murray can play in spots for you as a safety. He's good special teams. MJ Stewart, same thing. But to have Lonnie and Kalen ahead of them, this is not in the Texans depth chart room,
right?
But it is on Our Lads, which is interesting. It's just conversation for the radio. Nick's probably eye rolling like crazy if he's hearing this right now.
And what name,
Vandermeer? What are you doing?
And what name did Nick say or mention the other day when asked about? I can't remember what the question was, but it had something to do with, you know, last year's draft picks going from year one to year two and all that kind of stuff. He mentioned Brandon Hill.
Yeah, he did. Brandon Hill.
And Brandon, once he got back healthy last year, he spent some time at the nickel. He spent some time at safety.
He
was going to play special teams, but he was moving into both of those spots. So that's a guy that the staff is well aware of, and he was a seventh-round pick last year.
It's a great point. I know he did that once upon a time with Garrett Wallow, but then Garrett got hurt and couldn't live up to the Nick hyping him up in the offseason. And I use that word, hyping him up, Nick, not you. Nick praising him, praise for the amount of work he put in.
Positively mentioning.
Yeah, that was good. But it's definitely secondary. You threw a corner in there that we presume is a nickel, but we'll see what they do. And you knew you needed some more depth, some more possible answers opposite Derek Stingley Jr. with no Steven Nelson. You still have you have guys like Mike Ford on this football team as possibilities, but you have Jeff Okuda, C.J. Henderson. We'll see how it all shakes out soon enough when we get out there for OTAs.
Oh, that's going to be fun. It's also fun. Listen to these draft picks. Speak to us. We'll have a few of them, including your newest Texan tight end. We won't say he's got a potty mouth. It just happens. It happens to rookies on the radio. But Kate Stover's a great interview that we had a chance to catch up with him, so we'll catch up with him and others next right here on Texans All Access. What's happening, everybody? Welcome back to Monday edition of Texans All Access from the Hyundai Texans Radio Studio. I'm your host, John Harris, football analyst, sideline reporter for your Houston Texans. And this offseason, All Access show brought to you by Mattress Firm, the official sleep partner of your Houston Texans. Spread the word. You can score bonus savings on better sleep during Mattress Firm's Friends and Family Sale. Hurry in to save up to $700 with your extra discount. Plus, get a free adjustable base on select beds. That's from Mattress Firm, the official sleep partner of your Houston Texans. Now, this next guy hopefully got some sleep over the weekend to get ready to come to Houston, be part of this offense. Mr. Cade Stover. Now you're going to hear from Cade, you're going to hear from Kamara, and you're also going to hear from Blake Fisher. But we're going to start with Cade Stover because this is one on Saturday you may have missed. And if you did, well,
shame on you, because this is one of the better interviews. And it really got going at the end when we were about to cut it off. And I looked at Sean and said, no, give me one more question. And, well, you'll hear that question here in a little bit. And then what happens? And then you'll hear the beep. Yes, Kate Stover got dumped, as we call it in the radio biz. Look, it's happened to the best of them. I've been dumped probably 2 or 3 times in my career. So, you know, Kate is one interview, one dump. That's the way it goes. So here we go. Kate Stover, learn a little bit more about your new Texans tight end.
Getting into your car, or you're just tuning in. The newest Houston Texan has been selected with the 123rd overall pick. It is Ohio State tight end Cade Stover, and he joins us now on the hotline. Cade, welcome to Houston. I would imagine we saw the clip of you talking about the Texans when you were at the Combine and you were interviewed. Of course, we know you've got history with C.J. Stroud. What was it like when the phone rang? And I would imagine there was a 713 or 281 area code on that phone.
Yeah, it was really, I mean, it was a moment you dreamed of since the kid. And just to be able to do it with a guy like C.J. and the coaching staff like the Texans have, I really don't have any words. I'm still kind of. It's still hitting me, to be honest with you, right now.
I can imagine there are a lot of thoughts going through your mind. Joining CJ again is pretty cool. But, Kate, we were talking about this earlier. 2022 Rose Bowl, you're wearing a different number and you're playing a different position. You're playing defensive end. How did playing defensive end and playing on that side of the ball make you a better tight end?
I think that, one, not just from the football standpoint of it, mentally-wise, I mean, I've been thrown to the ringer here a lot of different spots, so I feel like I'm kind of battle tested in that spot mentally. So regardless, I kind of see the game through a defensive lens, and I try and play offense like I would on defense and have that chip on my shoulder all the time. So yeah, it was pretty, but we're gonna get it done.
Hey, you know what, Kay? Talk to us about your skill sets. What are you bringing to the tight end room? Tell some of the fans, hey, what kind of player you are and how you help the Texans.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would describe my game as just, I'm a tough, hard-nosed throwback player, and that's kind of what I've prided myself on. You're going to get 100% me every day and 100% effort all the time out of me. So I'm a good dude, good locker room guy. You've got to have around, so I'm just really excited to go and get to know everybody with this great team.
Kate, at Ohio State, you did a lot of different things, obviously different positions, but as a quote-unquote tight end, you're a move guy. You're being an inline guy. You'd play an H a little bit. You'd be a motion guy. Where do you fit most comfortably as a quote-unquote tight end? Are you feel better as a Y inline guy? Do you like to be the move guy? How do you kind of look at yourself as a tight end? Because there's a lot of definitions for what a tight end is nowadays. Where do you kind of fall in that?
Right. To be honest with you, I'm kind of indifferent. I mean, I feel pretty comfortable inline. I feel pretty comfortable split out also. It just kind of, once again, it's going to depend on what this team needs to win ball games. That's what I'm going to do.
Cade Stover, Ohio State tight end, now Houston Texan tight end, joining us here on Texans Draft Live. Cade, CJ's talked a lot about how much Ohio State helped him in his transition to the NFL, but a lot of the stuff he talks about is very quarterback specific. Give us your impressions. How do you feel like Ohio State has prepared you for this this journey that you're about to embark on here?
No, I tell you what, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, when you first get there, you don't really realize that you're not a man yet. You're not even you're barely a boy at that time. And you feel like you're a grown man, but you're not. Now I can completely say that, I mean, you're 100% grown man and adult that can handle this business all the time on and off the field. It just helps you. I mean, it's ran like an NFL program from what I hear. So meetings, being on time, just little things like that some places, I guess, don't really put an emphasis on. I mean, it was a big deal for us, all of it. And just the people I had at the coaching staff at Ohio State and all those guys. I love every single one of those people at that place.
What's the hottest that you've ever practiced in? What's the hottest temperature you've ever practiced in?
Oh, no.
That's going to – not as hot as down there. That's for damn sure. I'd say maybe a couple 90s at the most.
Yeah, could it? That'll be. I don't know if CJ's texted you yet, but my prediction is that'll be one of the first things he might mention to you.
Oh, okay, Kate, I got one for you. Okay, you're coming to Houston. I don't know what you really know about Houston, but you can come to Houston and eat. Are you a barbecue guy? Is that something that you mean? Are you? What's
I
your
am.
Big? What's
I'm
your big
massive,
food calling?
I'm a massive barbecue guy. I actually have a. I built a smoker at my house here. I actually built it out of about so. Hey, it's kind of but it worked.
Okay. Kate Stover is one for one in getting dumped in interviews. That is great.
Are we sure that Cal McNair?
Kate, we're not on a podcast here. This is a radio. All right,
that's all right. That's
sorry,
all right.
Guys.
No, it's all good. I feel like
we
love it.
He
fits perfectly with the Texans culture.
Yeah, oh, the three people on the air right now have all been dumped at some point.
Yeah, don't worry. Welcome to the club.
Are we sure Cal McNair didn't make this pick? The fact that you built a smoker.
Oh yeah,
I'm very telling true. You, Kate and Cal on the smoker is going to be that's going to be a real thing.
Yeah, dude, Kate,
that's
if you're
be a real thing.
if you're at training camp and the McNairs are there and you're looking for an icebreaker to talk to Cal McNair, the owner of the team, just bring up the smoker that you built yourself and talk to him about that. The owner of the Texans is a big fan of barbecue.
Yeah.
There we go. That'll be a great icebreaker.
Yeah, there you go. Good stuff. Kate Stover, tight end, formerly Ohio State, and now tight end Houston Texans. Cade, enjoyed the conversation. Safe travels when you get here to Houston. Look forward to seeing you out at OTAs and training camp.
Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it.
Man, I'm telling you, we had more fun with that particular interview than I could imagine. But before we got Cade on the air, I had a chance and got a chance to break down Cade Stover. Here's what I had to say on Saturday after he's drafted.
I think Bobby, in his heart of hearts, probably would like to be that 12 personnel team and have two tight ends on the field that can both block, that can do some different things. But then, ooh, here comes the boot and the keeper where one of those tight ends can go get open and do some of those things. If both tight ends can get open. But to be able to do that, you gotta block somebody on the edge. So in my heart of hearts, in the best version of Cade Stover, he becomes that guy that you can have on the field in 11 personnel and still run the ball. And he gives you some physicality to get the edge. But he also, off of 11 personnel, can give you some play action stuff. But in 12 personnel, he can be the inline guy and you let Dalton move.
Mm.
You let Dalton move. Cade can handle his business. And that you really would like. And that kind of opens things up a little bit more for the guy you just paid some money to, Dalton Schultz, who has that synergy now with C.J. Stroud. So I think in either 12 or 11 personnel, you've got some different things and different looks that Bobby can now show to defenses down the road.
It's all about personnel groupings, baby. And because you have to worry about so many personnel groupings, you go out and you draft a corner like Kamari Lassiter. We had a chance to catch up with Kamari right after he was drafted at the draft party. Mark Vandermeer, Seth Payne, and myself interviewing the Georgia Bulldog and now Houston Texans corner.
Kamari, did you have a feeling that it was the Texans, and how do you think you'll fit in with what they've already got here? A lot of SEC guys in this on this roster already. How do you think you'll fit in?
I feel like I fit in great. You know, I feel like I'm ready to come in and learn from the guys and just be able to, you know, earn the respect of my teammates and my coaches.
What do you remember from your conversations with D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio?
I just feel like I remember, you know, when I first met him, I feel like they made a great impression on me. I feel like, you know, off the rip, there was somebody who I could come in and play for and be able to connect with.
Kamari, what kind of player are the Texans getting? What can you tell the fans about what you expect from your style of play and how you'll fit in that way?
I'll say this: I'm a dog in real life. You know, when I'm on that field, I pride myself on being physical, fast, and I just really love the game of football. And you can tell that by the way I play. You know, I play with that doggish mentality.
I like how you say that. You are a dog. You're a dog in real life. You're a dog on the field. You do a little bit of everything. All right, Kamari, zone man, what do you do best on a football field? If Houston fans haven't had a chance to see you, what would you tell them that you do best on a football field?
I think what I do best on the football field is that I play football. I can play zone, man, tackle, whatever you need me to do, I'm ready to do it.
Kamari, I like that you said that you're eager to learn from the veterans. What, you know, you have a lot of teammates that have gone on to the NFL these last few years, obviously. What have you learned from those guys about what to expect?
You know, I just really learned, you know, that whenever you go into situations like this, the best thing you can do is be humble and be yourself. And that's how you, you know, earn the respect of your organization.
You said to the writers, Kamari, that you really wanted to come to Houston. Can you give us a couple of things, one or two, that really made you want to be a Houston Texan?
It's the environment. You know, the energy that the guys played with last season, I really enjoyed watching Houston play football. You know, it's a young team that's ready to step on next season, so I wanted to be a part of that.
Kamari, what do you remember about the Peach Bowl a couple years ago against one C.J. Stroud? What do you remember about that night?
He gave us hell.
All right. Well, you won the game, and we won because we got Kamari Lassiter to be a Houston Texan. Thanks so much for joining us. We can't wait to see you in action. Thank you, Kamari.
Thank you.
And finally, we had a chance to catch up with Blake Fisher a little while later. We'll save some of our interviews for tomorrow and Wednesday. But Blake Fisher sat down with us, the Avon, Indiana native, right here.
Let's go to Blake Fisher right now. Brand new Houston Texan offensive lineman. Blake, you're on with Texans Draft Radio. We are at the draft party downtown Houston right now. What is your reaction being a Houston Texan? Tell the fans what you think.
Man, I'm excited. Can't wait. It's a blessing. It's a dream come true to be back, you know, with my guy, Jared Patterson out there in Houston. It comes to a great organization. I'm blessed. I'm speechless. I can't wait to get to work. I'm so excited.
Okay, Blake, let's answer this question. Let's get it out of the way. You're from Avon, Indiana. Does that mean that you grew up as a Colts fan and now you have to despise them, or were you never a Colts fan and we'll love you the same?
Yeah, no. I was never a Colts fan. I just always kind of just played video games growing up, so I play with the best team available. Definitely not a Colts fan.
Good answer, my friend. Good answer.
Blake, did you have any sense? You know, we heard from C.J. Stroud a while back who he didn't think the Texans liked him at all before they drafted him. Did you have a sense that the Texans might have a liking for you?
I did not. I met with them at the combine. I had a formal and I had a Zoom with them a couple weeks ago. And other than that, I did not have any, you know, inkling that it could be the Texans or, you know, that they would pick me up. But, you know, God did. I'm very thankful and blessed that they did.
Blake, can you talk about your fit on this team or on any NFL team as you saw it coming into the draft? Tackle, guard, definitely tackle. How do you see it? Where do you think it's all going to go?
For sure. You know, wherever they want me to be, wherever I fit in, you know, best at, you know, wherever I can come in and contribute, you know, I just want to, you know, gain the dependability and the trust of, you know, of the guys, the coaches, the organization, and then we'll go from there. You know, I just want to get there, you know, learn everybody's names, you know, you make a great, good first impression on everybody and get comfortable and, you know, just enjoy my new team.
Blake, as I described you, I watched you for a couple of years at Notre Dame, and people wanted to know, and I said, he's an athletic people mover. How would you describe yourself, and how close did I get to an apt description of your game?
I would say that's pretty good, man. I would say, you know, he's dominant. I would also say, you know, he's versatile. He can play left. He can play right. And then I would just say, you know, he's a smart football player. You can see his IQ on film. He's explosive. He's strong. His lower body, you know, he has a good anchor. Really different within his sets that he takes on, you know, opposing defensive ends.
Blake, watching the Houston Texans last year, I know you were busy with Notre Dame and you mentioned going with the hot team and video games and all of that, but your thoughts on the Texans organization, not from last year necessarily, but where they're headed right now, what you know?
Yeah, I would definitely just say that, you know, I'm excited. You know, they've turned it around there. You know, they have really good players. You know, they've got Stephon, you know, some other good guys, you know, that are going to help contribute. You know, I can't wait to come in and be a part of that, you know, go to work. You know, I'm a competitor. So I love, you know, just to be, you know, against the best. And, you know, that's what it is. That's what it's looking like.
All right, Blake, we can't wait to see you in action. OTAs, rookie camp, all of it. Thanks so much for joining us. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's going to be an interesting one with Blake Fisher coming to town very, very soon. Big thanks to Cade, Kamari, and to Blake Fisher for joining us on the draft show and draft shows throughout the weekend. All right, we get back. We'll go around the NFL. Any news and notes, things that are happening around the league. We'll hit it next right here on Texans All Access. We got one final segment of this Monday edition of Texans All Access from the Hyundai Texans Radio Studio. I am your host, John Harris, football analyst, sideline reporter. And still the draft is, you know, resonating over the weekend. Obviously, people still scratching their head at what the Falcons did with Michael Penix Jr. and others. Here's how it went down. Most draft picks by schools. Now, the Texans added to this because they added one Michigan Wolverine. The Michigan Wolverines had 13 players drafted. How about that? Texas. Texas Longhorns. It kind of showed up. Steve Sarkisian getting players and developing them. Texas had 11. Alabama, Florida State, Washington all had 10 each. Georgia came in next with 8, tied with Oregon and Penn State. And obviously, we ended up with 1 Georgia Bulldog, 1 Oregon Duck. Notre Dame came in at tied for 9th with USC. We had 1 from Notre Dame, 2 from USC. So we got our draft picks from the powers. Georgia, 1. Oregon, 2. Notre Dame, 3. USC, 4, 5. So 5 of the 9 came from the top 10 schools producing draft picks. Today's a day that teams are picking up 50-year options, and not surprising, down in Jacksonville, Travis Etienne and Trevor Lawrence were both first-round draft picks of 2021. They had their 5th-year options picked up. The Falcons have also picked up the option on tight end Kyle Pitts. Texas did not have a 2021 first-round selection, so you don't have to worry about that, picking up the 5th-year option, because they didn't have one. We'll worry about it next year, I guess. Will next year be the year? Yeah, next year will be 2022, and hopefully Derek Stingley is not only picking up the 5th-year option, but hopefully getting re-signed to a long extension that keeps him here. This news coming out from Kansas City. Kansas City had a pretty solid draft, adding Xavier Worthy in the first round. They got Jared Wiley at TCU tight end a little bit later, who I really, really liked. They got Jaden Hicks in the 5th round. That was ridiculous. That dude can play. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends starting. If he ends up starting next to Justin Reed, just a physical specimen, 6'2", 210, can run, hit. It's kind of not clean in any aspect. You know, misses some tackles, doesn't wrap up, some of those things, but the athletic profile is off the charts. But that's really kind of the not-so-big news. The big news, as it pertains to tight end Travis Kelce, he has renegotiated his contract. He gets extended for 2 years through 2027. Now, depending on how you classify extensions, contracts, restructures, all of that, Kelce was set to earn $30 million over the 2-year time frame, but now he'll get up to $34.25 million, $17 million of which is guaranteed at this particular extension, with this particular extension. So he's extended through 2027. I guess if you dive into it, it's probably not, it's 25, 26 essentially, but probably going to lower the cap number, I would imagine. But Travis Kelce going to stay in Kansas City for a while, and that's not good. I didn't want to see that. I didn't think he would leave. I thought he would leave in a retirement sort of way. Not that he would say, no, I'm going to go get money elsewhere. Travis Kelce's probably been one of the more underpaid players at his particular, not only his position, but at his level of player. I mean, you can make a case Travis Kelce's top 10 for the last 8 to 10 years, and he's paid like a top 12 tight end. So it's been kind of shocking to see. But Kelce gets an extension, and the Chiefs are happy. Hopefully, the Texans will go to Kansas City and burst that bubble, baby. Don't know when. Find out the schedule here in the next probably, 2 weeks? 10 days to 2 weeks, and find out when we will go to Kansas City. Are we the opener? We'll find out. Big thanks for everybody on this show. Thanks to Mark. Thanks to the guys, Kate Stover, Kamari Lasser, Blake Fisher, for joining us after they were drafted. To all of you for listening, we'll see you next time. And as always, go Texans.